Welcome to the visitors who are joining us on this third stage of the visit we are making between the ports of our territory. In this stage, we have already reached the Moluccas. The expedition has achieved its objective of sailing to the place where the clove tree grows. That precious spices and being able to return with the hulls well loaded and enriched. The expedition started 2 years and 3 months ago, when they left Sevilla in August 1519, under the command of the Portuguese navigator Fernando de Magallanes, who had already died in the Philippines. Of the 5 ships that departed from Sevilla, only 2 have arrived, the Nao Victoria and the Nao Trinidad. Of the 250 men who set out, only 110 have arrived. They have left 140 companions along the way who have died of hunger, disease, or different disputes with each other or even with inhabitants of other territories. It has been a really tough journey, but they have achieved their goal. They are excited, all hoping to get rich when they come back. They will try to load the hulls of the 2 ships with clove as quickly as possible, for fear of being captured by the Portuguese, who they know are looking for them. They load clove, but also ginger, cinnamon, and nutmeg. Once the hulls of the ships are loaded, they tried to leave the Moluccas to return to Sevilla on December 18 of 1521. It is at that moment when they realize that the Nao Trinidad is taking on water, so it is impossible to make the journey in those conditions. They know that the ships are overloaded and that this may be the cause of a breakdown of the Nao Trinidad. At that moment, they make a decision. The expedition will be divided. Half of the men will stay in Tidor in the Moluccas, trying to repair the Trinidad ship. But the Nao Victoria has to leave immediately. It is urgent to return to Sevilla. The Portuguese are looking for them, and they want to arrive with all the cargo. They are already dreaming of their riches. Juan Sebastián Elcano embarked on the Nao Victoria and will try to return to Sevilla. They know it is a very difficult navigation. If it has already been difficult to reach the Moluccas in a group of ships, a single ship crossing unknown oceans facing all the dangers is going to be almost impossible task, but they have to try. Each crew member will choose which ship to stay on, and they say goodbye to each other. It is at that moment that Juan Sebastián Elcano decides that he will not cross the Pacific again. He will try to navigate towards the east. It is a moment when the monsoons blow, which will push them and facilitate the navigation, but they do not know the Indian Ocean either. This is the moment when everything changes. From now on, the first circumnavigation will be gestated. It was not the objective of the expedition, but now everything has changed. Finally, the departure of the Nao Victoria will take place on December 21, 1521. They will sail across the Indian Ocean without stopping for 5 months. Although they will make a small stop in Timor to stock up on supplies. It will be the second very serious episode of scurvy. They cannot approach the coast because the entire area is Portuguese ports and they are the enemy, so they are looking for them. At first, the monsoons will help them, but then the winds will blow against them, and the navigation will become increasingly difficult. Slowly, the crew members start to die, and the ships in worse condition. It is a very tough situation as they approach the south of Africa near Madagascar. They consider the possibility of taking land despite it being an enemy zone. Juan Sebastián Elcano consults this with his crew, and they all decide not to disembark. Instead, they will continue and try to cross the Cape of Good Hope. This Cape of Good Hope, which we call it now, was called the Cape of Storms, according to the chronicle Pigafetta. There, they faced the worst storms of the entire expedition. The main mast of the ship broke, and it became practically uncontrollable. The crew had a diet mainly consisting of rice, and they had nothing else to eat. The men were exhausted, and they became increasingly sick with scurvy. They passed the Cape of Good Hope and the African coast, but due to the difficulties of the coast, they couldn't get close. When they were approaching Cabo Verde, Juan Sebastián Elcano consulted with his crew again about the possibility of landing to buy provisions and even slaves to help them handle the ship. They were very few men and in very bad physical and health conditions. They decided in an assembly that they had no choice and needed those provisions and help to govern the ship. They sent a small boat with 12 crew members to Cabo Verde, which belonged to Portugal. The citizens of Cabo Verde realized that this was the expedition that came from the Spice Island and captured the crew of that boat that arrived on the coast of Cabo Verde. The Nau Victoria had to run away for fear of being captured. At this point, there were only 18 crew members who were exhausted, hungry, and sick. The monsoons continued blowing on the African coast, so the ship was sent westward towards the Azores. It was August 1522, and there was a terrible calm that prevented them from sailing eastward. After this episode of calm, they got some wind, and on September 6, 1522, the inhabitants of Sanlúcar de Barrameda in Cádiz, southern Andalusia, saw a completely destroyed ship that could barely sail. It was the Nau Victoria that had sailed around the world. The captain, Juan Sebastián Elcano, 36 years old, from Guetaria, was on the stern. He was the architect of one of the most stellar moments in the history of humanity. On the deck, the boatswain Juan de Arcurio, 28 years old, from Bermeo, Basque Country, was the man who had to extract the last forces from the 18 hungry, exhausted, and sick men to make them work and reach port. At the top of the main mast, with eyes burned by salt and exhausted by extreme efforts, was the cabin boy, Juan de Arratia, from Bilbao, who had not yet turned 18. Next to him was the youngest member of the expedition, who left his native Vizcaya at the age of 12 to go to Sevilla. At the age of 13, he embarked on the Magallanes expedition and returned at the age of 16, after having reached the ends of the earth. He had seen wonderful things, but also the darkest depths of the human soul. At that moment, these 18 participants were the ones who, for the first time in the history of our world, had completed that first circumnavigation. This journey took place exactly 500 years ago, and this is the history of the Nau Victoria. Meanwhile, in the Moluccas, the repair of the Nau Trinidad was taking longer than expected. They worked hard for 4 months, and finally, in May of 1522, they managed to set sail once again. After ensuring that the ship was capable of sailing by loading it up with plenty of stuff, they decided to return by crossing the Pacific Ocean and retracing their original tour to the Moluccas. This was a very difficult journey, because they were not familiar with the currents of this sea. They encountered large storms and a scurvy reappeared, causing several crew members to die. Eventually, the captain of the now Trinidad, Ginés de Mafra, decided to return to the Moluccas again and wait for another expedition to rescue them. When they arrived at the island of Tidor in the Moluccas, they realized that the Portuguese had already arrived. When they saw the Castilian ship, they captured all the crew members, some of whom died and others were taken prisoners. They would arrive in Andalusia several years later. Meanwhile, when they arrived in Sanlúcar de Barrameda, Juan Sebastián Elcano wrote letters to his king to inform him of the journey, stating, "May your majesty know that we have verified the roundness of the earth by sailing west and returning east." He gave information about all the hardship and misfortunes of the journey and asked the king to talk to the Portuguese king to free his imprisoned companions in Cabo Verde. Elcano was a good captain with a clear objective and mission for the expedition, which was to reach the Moluccas and bring back cloves. He was communicative with his crew, kept them informed at all times, consulted them in decision-making, and showed good initiative when leaving the Moluccas. By taking advantage of favorable winds to return through the Indian Ocean, he also cared for his crew who had been left as prisoners in Cabo Verde. In the hold of the Victoria, they brought the wealth, the 24,000 kilograms of cloves that would pay the salaries of the crew and recover the investment of the expedition. But they didn't just bring wealth, they also brought knowledge. We can only imagine how many extraordinary things they found on this journey. Men who had encountered different species, sharks, flying fish, and curious birds that they saw as geese with duck bills, penguins for us. They tasted new gastronomic products, such as turnips with a chestnut-like flavor that they called potatoes. Everything was new. The wealth produced by cloves was so great that a new expedition was soon planned, a larger one that would depart from Galicia in A Coruña, with 7 ships. However, this would also be a true failure. Juan Sebastián Elcano would participate again, along with his brothers and brothers-in-law, who had invested in the expedition. It would be the economic and personal ruin of their entire family, and they would all die, including Juan Sebastián Elcano. He died on August 6 of 1526, just as the patron saint festivals of Getaria were being celebrated in the Pacific. He was one of the great Basque navigators, but not the only one, as we have seen many others participated in this and other expeditions. We are a maritime territory. We are the sea. And when these journeys were made, the Basque country was a maritime power. Today, we still are the sea that has given life to all of us.
Thank you. Thank you.